Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Get ready for Mind Shock with Dr. Ron Dalrymple. The premier podcast in the world, bringing you hidden truths about your mind's incredible powers. Get ready to free your mind.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mind Shock. Dr. Ron Dalrymple, the show that will take you to the outer limits of your mind, into the inner limits, the true final frontier, the inner limits of deep, deep within. Who are we? What are we doing here upon this planet? What is our nature? Our theme for this show is evolution of the supermind. Now, I mentioned before I started working at NASA at 17 years old. Back when I was just a kid, fresh out of high school, starting in college at Maryland in math and physics, really fascinated by those concepts. What I was doing back then, didn't realize it, since about the age of 12, I was involved in deep concentration studying mathematics, because higher mathematics gets into a lot of abstract thinking. You get into analytic geometry and then calculus and so forth. You really are shifting from concrete thought, which is more like three-dimensional or everyday thought, into more abstract thinking, which is n-dimensional, which can involve many different fields or worlds, not necessarily tied to the three-dimensional aspects of the physical world we're used to. So abstract thinking is the key to many, many fields. If, for example, someone's a lawyer, you want to be able to think, like Clarence Darrow, for example, is a brilliant lawyer who could go to court against 12 top corporate lawyers and just rip them up. He'd defeat them easily because he could think very quickly and abstractly beyond a given situation, create arguments to counter theirs. It didn't matter about the numbers, the quantity of lawyers, there's a quality of thought. We see it throughout the professional world and the creative world in many areas. The ability to think abstractly and think beyond a given paradigm allows one to go into new dimensions, take new ideas and go into and create new worlds. So I didn't realize at the time, but I was getting into something that would take me a very, very different pathway in life. But the deep thought I was involved in since the age of 12 was teaching me how to think abstractly beyond a given paradigm. In abstract thought, you see, you can create all kinds of miles of thought, many ways of thinking, which shift beyond the usual logical type procedures. So you get into, like, projecting one space to another, creating different modules, different concepts. I mean, abstract thinking can take you in all kinds of directions. And a lot of abstract mathematics, higher math, does not tie into the physical world. So the paradigms created, the formulas they deal with, the ideas they deal with, often go beyond that. In any case, while there for 2 years, I was really fascinated by being at NASA, a lot of great people there from around the world. We had guys from, you know, Nobel Prize winners from Eastern Europe and even from other countries. It's just amazing. They all came to NASA to work because it's a conglomeration of people, thousands and tens of thousands, millions of people around the world combining their efforts to make the impossible happen. The whole point was to make the impossible happen, where you put people in space and then, of course, on the moon. It was a big objective, which John Kennedy had declared, and created a huge, huge, massive effort. So while at NASA, I started taking psychology classes. I took classes intro and then one in the theory of personality. So I started seeing the different concepts about psychology and how they were conceiving the mind. And then it dawned on me there are all kinds of parallels. These are psychological theories and some aspects of higher math like calculus, advanced calculus, and also into what's called topology. We project from one space into another. There's ways to describe, for example, how energy in the physical world could project from one to another. And somebody did similar research is Nikola Tesla. We'll get into it in a few minutes. Nikola Tesla did work in this. If you look at some of his writings and his books about his research you know, all of his patents. He has many hundred patents, fewer than Edison, but he did his own work. Edison hired out a lot of his work to other people, which were contemporaries, had some battles we're getting into. But Tesla was a very, very brilliant and abstract thinker. He would work most of the time. He would just study and work pretty much around the clock. He would work from like 3 o'clock in the morning until 11 p.m. He worked 20 hours a day on his research. So he's deep in thought all the time, developing things. And so when you're in deep, deep thought, and deep concentration, it allows access from the everyday world into higher worlds of understanding. So you can take another example would be Eric Clapton. He's a brilliant guitarist. There are a lot of great musicians out there, of course. And he would study, play music from about, when he's 13 years old, he'd play about 12 to 13 hours per day, every day. He carried around with him to school, after school, whatever, on a bus, wherever he was. He has a guitar. He's constantly practicing. He concentrated so much and so deeply. He learned all the blues, for example. He could study back then. He started to develop his own style, put so much time and energy into it, he shifted into a higher state of comprehension and a higher level of ability, of course, which he manifested for many, many decades. So in any case, while at NASA, I was combining math and physics, then with psychology, and one fateful night in November of 69, I was walking back into my dorm, Hagerstown Hall, Maryland campus, and I asked the question, is there some way you can explain the functioning of the mind with mathematics and physics? And it hit me like a thunderbolt, like a tsunami. It almost knocked me over. I could just see the mind projecting energy like through space and sinusoidal variations projecting through space. And that it hit me that if the mind is an energy field, then it would explain much of the phenomena of psychology which other theories cannot explain. The theory we eventually developed is called quantum field psychology, which explains all the other paradigms of psychology with math and physics. And I would say, as we have a lot more to discover in this area, it's really a fascinating thing. I'm now applying it into the actual, you know, molecular structures and so forth, and the looking at the exact molecular activity, the magnetic activity of the brain, the cells, and so forth. And I think it really does make sense that the mind is an energy field. And Tesla also agreed with this. He wrote about this, talked about it. After all, his research was done. So in any case, it dawned on me that the mind is energy, which transcends the physical brain, that the true final frontier is inner space, the exploration of the true powers of mind. Because the implications of this are astounding. It changes everything. It changes all of science. It changes all of our concepts of the world. If this is true, then it turns our whole world of belief upside down. So our mission is to take you to the true outer limits of inner space. Think about that great paradox, the outer limits of inner space. In today's chaotic world, there's a great revolution sweeping the globe about who we are and what we're doing here. Many folks are dating these ideas with similar ideas because people are not happy with the current paradigms, the political paradigms of the world, the academic paradigms. We see all the corruption in universities now, for example. We see the vast, vast corruption of world governments and the media and the big tech. There's so much corruption controlled by small groups of people that people in the world now, the great masses, so-called, are realizing this and are fed up with it. People are saying, enough's enough. We're tired of this. We're tired of being controlled, manipulated, lied to, used. We need a whole new paradigm to replace the old one. We bring back honesty and truth in government and politics, which is not easy to do, obviously. There's so much corruption out there. A lot of money changes hands. And a lot of these people make a lot of money by doing corrupt things. But the mind revolution going around the world, now is part of that in a sense back in the 60s. It was a real astounding thing. I was in college at Maryland. The uproar, we've seen the whole world about the world is an absolute mess. And people wanted wars to end, sick and death, all the wars around the world. And of course, the corrupt powers making money behind the scenes. So ever since then, there's been this wave, in fact, long before that, there's been a wave moving forward to really change things from the old mindset to totally new ones. So this has been going on for millennia. You might say in spirals of growth, the various setbacks and spirals of growth and so forth, as we gradually move forward. So whole new theories of mind to turn old science on its head. That's what's happening now. Old science, three-dimensional, limited to the physical senses. And of course, the old science don't like this a bit. It threatens them. Their egos are invested in their publications, their careers, in academia. They get promoted, their heads of departments and so forth. They get all kinds of awards for their research. And somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, sorry. Those old paradigms don't make sense anymore. You have to turn it all upside down on its head, and a lot of your stuff goes out the window. They, of course, are threatened by this, and you can believe they don't like it. We've spoken before about two streams of development through human history. Some people follow the light or expansion of consciousness. In other words, good things, trying to do good for others, trying to improve the world. And others, of course, follow the darkness. In fact, many seek the light to keep getting distracted by the darkness or by lower energy centers, distracted by desires and fears of lower frequency levels. You might entertain emotions of fear, anxiety, depression, and guilt. In other words, we create these emotions ourselves in reaction to the world around us. We allow the world or other people to stimulate us, our thoughts and emotions in certain ways, but we choose to feel these emotions and choose to think the negative thoughts we entertain. So emotions we choose to create, negative thoughts, have very negative consequences. It can go on for us from consequences to go from the unfortunate to the profound. These can go on for years and years and years, even rule our entire lives. We can also allow times images from the outside world to distract us. So we then send our energy, and if the mind is energy, it's always working. So if the mind is energy field, it's always projecting energy. It's always projecting various wavelengths of energy. Whether you're asleep or awake, daydreaming or concentrating, whatever you're thinking about, you're projecting various waveforms of energy, would be the implication of this, which then influence the world around you and, of course, your life and, of course, your health. Now, that might sound like a pretty wild theory, but more and more evidence does support this. And astoundingly, as I've dug much more into a lot of the ancient research, going back thousands and thousands of years, various folks around the world involved in similar lines of inquiry, it's astounding to find that these same thoughts were expressed and developed thousands of years ago in various cultures. We mentioned a friend of mine, Dr. Rod Fuentes from Chile. He was a dentist in his day and did many other things. He's also been an NLP instructor and an author, written many books. He studied the ancient Andean codes, the codes left in the Andean mountains thousands of years ago, presumably by escaped refugees from Atlantis when it was sinking. They went to high levels, high altitudes, and put their texts away some 16,000 feet above sea level to protect them from invaders and destruction of the natural elements. In any case, in many of our talks, we realized that the ancient Andean code going back some 25,000 years, who knows how long, is very much parallel to our theory, quantum field psychology. In fact, the ideas expressed by a number of the metaphysical groups around the world are also parallel to quantum field psychology, because it's a derivation from analyzing all the current theories of psychology and philosophies with math and physics. Remember, the first fundamental science of the universe is mathematics. All things come from general ideas mathematically expressed. The first application to the physical world gives you physics or applied mathematics. And then down the line, we get into physical chemistry and then organic chemistry, eventually biological sciences, and the so-called social sciences, which are largely based upon statistical analyses, which is a roundabout way of trying to derive results. Some of that research is really good, but it's really hard to get valid and reliable results because there's so much variance. But now quantum field psychology makes psychology a hard science predicated upon hard science principles of math and physics. So if one reads that theory, I invite you folks to read that book, Quantum Field Psychology. It's on Amazon. You get a Kindle, it's around a few bucks. If you're interested in this, read that book, study that, and share it with other people. It does get some astounding results and implications for where our society is moving, scientifically, but also as a whole, as people realize there's far more to us than just a three-dimensional world. In any case, if we allow the outside world to distract us, then our thought energy is projected in all kinds of chaotic directions. So most folks who haven't really trained their minds or trained themselves to think in various structured ways are learning their concentration, to use your concentration and your attention, very importantly, and your visualization And the qualification of your thoughts and emotions, when it's control, those three things, attention, visualization, and qualification of thought and emotion, determine what you're creating in your life, in your world. If you're not in tune with these and make these happen in a structured, positive, scientific way, then you're probably defeating yourself, you're sabotaging yourself, you're causing yourself all kinds of problems and disruptions by those types of aberrational thoughts, because thoughts and emotions crisscross. One thought will cancel out another. One emotion will cancel out another, and so forth. So many folks live lives of chaotic desperation, which they themselves have created. As a psychologist, of course, I've been one for many decades now. That's a field I went into after my discoveries at NASA. I've seen tens of thousands of people, and you can bet that what they think and feel and believe is what they're creating in their lives. So it's the old saying that not just seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. So what you believe is what you create in your life, and what you feel is what you create. We see this all the time with folks, that the kind of problems they have that manifest for them is a function of what they dwell upon, what they think, and what they feel. So each of us is creating our lives, our world, whether we realize it or not. And our mind, remember, if the theory is correct, and I think it is constantly projecting energy. Because all the ancient texts say the same thing. The Indian code says the same thing. If you research with folks, I've seen tens of thousands, maybe 30,000 patients over the years, clients, and believe me, they're projecting and creating their own lives based upon what they're fixated upon at a deep level. In any case, you said the law of attraction, many folks are following the law of distraction, of distracting themselves and confusing themselves and causing chaos in their lives. In fact, folks often need help to get back on the path. So we often do professional coaching with folks. Coaching helps people to discover their deep powers and abilities within them, help them re-motivate themselves, help them get rid of the blocks in their lives holding them back, and also concentrate upon their business, their personal lives, or social lives, whatever, so they can create for themselves much greater successes. And coaching is a very, very powerful force for positive change in the world. It's one of the things I really love to do with folks, to help them understand their great potential within and get in touch with that and apply it to their lives to create incredible things. So we'll get back to that later on. In any case, back to the idea of genius. Some high EQ people are thought to be eccentric, even mad. We talked before about Sir Francis Bacon, who's a brilliant guy. In fact, he's one of the most intelligent people probably ever lived, the most creative, and yet he's very little known because his life was suppressed. We talked about it before, by his mother, the Queen, Elizabeth I in England, who revealed to him when he was about 15 that she was indeed his mother. She'd hidden it before. He was the firstborn son of the Queen, so he was in line to be the next king, you say. So very, very powerful but dangerous position to be in. But she kept it secret because she sold herself, as it were, her image, that is, as the Virgin Queen. She pretended to be the Virgin Queen because this way nobody could take over her throne. If she admitted she married Robert Dudley, the father of Sir Francis, then the court would demand that he become king. Because of these biases in those days. So she influenced the court system towards women's rights back then in the Reformation, which then took on another huge jump in the 1850s in England and to the U.S. That's a whole different story. But in any case, Bacon grew up in a world of great conflict. He was born to royalty, but lived in relative obscurity. So he had a brilliant mind, brilliant genes, DNA, and whatnot, from his mother. She was quite brilliant, although eccentric herself. She was probably, she might well have been a bipolar personality, very possible, perhaps even a borderline, because she had a lot of rejection earlier in life, and borderlines have rejection syndrome at the core of who they are, a sense of abandonment, a sense of isolation, a sense of not being sure who they are. She was raised in very unstable times. She was in the Tower of London to be executed, put there by her older sister, Queen Mary, at the time. She was 20 years old, where she again met Robert Dudley. She met him before, later married him. In case she had a very, very difficult, stressful life, and growing up as a kid, she knew that she could be destroyed or even executed at any time, depending upon who took over the throne. If you can imagine that, right? Imagine how difficult that would have been. So in any case, Sir Francis came along and grew up in this very turbulent family, right, underneath Henry VIII, the Tudor family, and grew up observing the court system. That's where we got the information for all his brilliant plays, the Shakespearean plays, which he wrote, under a pseudonym. He also created the scientific method, which is incredible. He created that. He also helped translate all the great books of the world at that time from Greek and Latin into English. He helped distribute them throughout the world using Gutenberg Press, which went back to 1445. And they distributed this information throughout the world. He also helped found America. He formed various organizations which came to America and formed groups and lodges and so forth that played a major, major role in the American Revolution and in formulating the concepts of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, part which came from England and Scotland, from some of the writers there and theorists there, but also from Bacon, who helped set this whole thing up. He also wrote a book called The New Atlantis to help form America. So he's a major influence in the world. But because of his mother being unstable herself, and because he was in constant danger of being killed, since he was the heir apparent to the throne, they had many enemies. He had many enemies, such as the Cecil family, whom he had insulted at one point. He suffered some depression, anxiety, and fear, but he also had a very powerful support group. Because some people, of course, knew who he was. They knew he was the son of the queen. He wasn't generally known. He was kept quiet. The queen's daughter, and she meant business. She executed many people, in fact, who crossed her. In any case, his supporters were a group of writers, the greatest writers in the world at the time, to be surrounded by other brilliant people who knew who he was. Now, we're going to discuss in this series, about the Genius series, many other people like Tesla. Today we'll talk more about Tesla, Mozart, Copernicus, Einstein, even Napoleon, and others who might have looked at the story of genius, perhaps, who are brilliant people but got off on different limbs. We're going to compare them to those of illumination. So in other words, some people are very brilliant, but they get off course. Has attained more illumination, which means an elevation of the mind to much higher levels. And the differences in their consciousness. Well, folks, today we're talking about the Genius series. We talked about Sir Francis Bacon. We covered today Nikola Tesla and many more to come. We have a lot more coming today, folks. Be right back. We're from our sponsors.
This show is brought to you by BarkBox. Free box to all listeners of Mind Shock. Go to BarkBox.com/MindShock. Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything. And once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure. From outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Paradise Found 2015 is a film that sparks of intrigue about the discovery of quantum field psychology. Throw in a sexy spy story, a conflict between father and son against the backdrop of NASA, and interspersed with World War II flashback combat scenes, and you'll be surprised to discover the foundation of a whole new theory of mind. Rent or buy Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com and prepare for the explosive conclusion. That's Paradise Lost 2015. At Amazon.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
A complete mind development course, The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, helps you develop your concentration, memory, imagination, and more, all to help you program your mind towards success. But it's not a boring read. You are taken on a journey with a young man who is trying to start his own business and immerses himself into a journey of self-discovery. A powerful book that you can read again and again. Get The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple at Amazon.com. The Inner Manager at Amazon.com. Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Well, folks, welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. Today we're talking about a really fascinating topic, the concept of genius. Like, what is a genius? Who are geniuses in history? How did they get there? Was it DNA? Just born? Was it made? Were they made by their upbringing, their study, their hard work, all the above? Probably all the above, DNA, hard work, study, and a lot more to it we're going to talk about. A lot of clues given throughout history by some of the great writers and thinkers on this topic. For example, the famous author Jonathan Swift was talking about genius. He said, when a great genius appears in a world, you may know him by this sign, that the dunces are all in confederacy against him. So think about that. All the dunces are in confederacy against him or against her. Which means, of course, that somebody's different, they think differently, they're ahead of the pack, they're smarter than most people, can think more quickly, whatever, they threaten a lot of people. You come to an organization, for example, with a lot of gifts and whatnot, so you're going to work there for a while, even short term, you can believe it threatens a lot of people who don't want to be made to look bad. And some will kind of take it easy and just brush it off and whatever, be cool with it, because they have stronger ego, stronger sense of self. Others are more threatened and attacked back viciously. Jonathan Swift was often attacked and sabotaged. He was a satirist, so he wrote a number of satires attacking society of his day. What happens here is that people love to judge others. So people gossip and rumor monger and spread all this stuff. Rumor mongering and gossip is often a pack of lies, folks. It's somebody else's lie, and they spread it to you. You pass it on to somebody else, you're spreading lies about a third party. You might hurt that person deeply. You might destroy somebody. You might cause for them all kinds of consequences based upon fabrications. So it's very important not to spread rumors. Don't spread gossip. Be very careful about that. People love to judge, not perceive. To perceive means to simply see what's there, try to understand the person and what's really happening. So you see a person that's multidimensional, which all people are. To judge somebody reduces them to a few variables, a few dimensions, and pushes them down, attacks them. And we then play the judge, we set up on a higher pedestal, we think. So we do this for our own reasons, to make ourselves feel more important than judging, condemning somebody else. It's part of human nature going back, no doubt, millions of years, in which case we project our inner feelings and biases onto someone else. When we judge someone else, it's almost invariably inaccurate. If we perceive them, we can often see them much more clearly. It's important not to judge, not to put down, not to condemn. Try to see them for the multidimensional person they are. In any case, those who break the mold, who go beyond it, threaten the system. Now, Arthur Schopenhauer said, very brilliantly, he was a German writer and philosopher, he said, all truth passes through three phases. First, is ridiculed. Second, is violently opposed. And third, is accepted as self-evident. Notice a pattern here. First, this ridicule is being ridiculous, that I can't possibly be. That's something that we don't believe that. That's absurd, people will say, right? With a new idea. Next, they violently oppose it, try to suppress it. This is what Thomas Edison did to Tesla, with Tesla's conduction engine, based on alternating current, which worked far better, is more efficient than Edison's direct current engines and so forth, and his power systems. Teslas were far more efficient, worked far better. It traveled over long distances. Direct current did not. It was a much better invention. Edison was already well established. He had invested millions and millions of bucks of his own in developing his system. He had a lot of patents in it, those lines, so he was greatly threatened by it. So, of course, Edison ridiculed Tesla. Then he violently opposed him. Eventually, he admitted that Tesla was right. The alternating current did work better. Well, he had to. In 1893, Chicago World Fair, they lit up the entire fair with alternating current, which was done with the help of Westinghouse, a friend of Tesla, showing the power of alternating current. In any case, with Schopenhauer's concept of three stages, I would add a fourth stage. Those who first opposed it later said, pardon me, it's really their idea all along. They start out by ridiculing the idea. They violently oppose it. And they finally say, well, it's self-evident, of course. Then they say in the fourth stage, hey, it was my idea all along. Isn't that convenient? Wow, what a switch. And the fifth stage is that they proceed to condemn all those who disagree with their new position. That's where they started. condemning those who disagree with him, right? So you make a switch, and that condemns somebody from this new position. Talk about doing a 360, right? Anyway, such is the human ego, driven by lower desires and fears. The ego fights to protect itself, its beliefs, no matter how inaccurate they might be. It doesn't like being shown up. As I mentioned, Edison ridiculed and violently opposed Tesla, his conduction engine. Pretty threatened by it because it's superior, so forth. Because direct current has too much resistance, so it decreases in power. So he had to build power stations like every mile or so, even every few blocks in the city, because so many lines went out from the power station. And the power went down, so he had to build new ones close by. Very inefficient, very expensive. Whereas the Tesla system worked far better. Alternating current has no distance limitations. It can flow for great distances and then flows back. It alternates out and back, the way it oscillates. It's really a brilliant idea. So let's look more deeply at Tesla. He's a brilliant idealist and a brilliant inventor. He was born July 10th, 1856 in Croatia, in Europe. His mother was an inventor. She did not have formal education, but she was an inventor, a very, very creative mind. And she taught him how to think creatively and inventively, how to think differentially. In fact, we cover some of his concepts in our book, 8 Days of Creative Power. That's on Amazon also. How to think creatively, using your thoughts, emotions, and behavior. Creative thinking and flexible thinking is very powerful as well and profoundly helpful in many occupations. Learning how to think creatively, think on your feet, is a great, great advent to anything you're doing. In case his mother was an inventor, taught him to be one, so even at a young age he had really brilliant ideas that helped out other people. And she instilled in him the idealism to want to help mankind, and he truly wanted to help humankind. In fact, when he came to the stage, he approached Edison with great innocence. Later claimed he got played. He claimed that he'd made a deal with Edison. Edison wanted him to fix some of the equipment in his shops and whatnot, or his power stations, rather. And Tesla did. He fixed problems nobody else could fix, and he claimed that Edison had promised him $50,000 in payment. He got the job done beautifully and quickly, and then Edison reneged on the whole thing. He said, young man, you don't understand the American sense of humor. So Tesla claims he got played. Edison used him, manipulated him, took advantage of his brilliance, and they never paid him. Later made fun of him and said, well, what do I owe you, $50? You know, $50? Well, that's $50,000, of course. Tesla was ridiculed by Edison quite often, he claimed. In any case, Tesla had really poor concept of social and business boundaries. So, for example, later on, he's friends with George Westinghouse, and he made a deal with Westinghouse. He got paid for every horsepower generated by Niagara Falls, and that Westinghouse came to him by J.P. Morgan, and Tesla gave him some $10 million to help him out, gave away his own fortune. Very, very poor judgment. Helped a friend, a very poor judgment. Folks, talking today with Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock about the nature of genius and some great examples in history. A lot more coming, folks. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Work from our sponsors. Stick with us.
Here's a fun, stimulating program that can teach you how to develop your own powers of creation. It uses a three-part mind, stimulating approach to get you to develop your own creative thinking. It will help you create a powerful self-image and helps you see how you can take creative action. You'll develop your thinking power and your skills, and you can do this in 8 days. Get Dr. Ron Dalrymple's book, 8 Days to Creative Power, on Amazon.com. Overcome your problems with the step-by-step guide. So get 8 Days to Creative Power on Amazon.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
A complete mind development course, The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, helps you develop your concentration, memory, imagination, and more, all to help you program your mind towards success. But it's not a boring read. You are taken on a journey with a young man who is trying to start his own business and immerses himself into a journey of self-discovery. A powerful book that you can read again and again. Get The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple at Amazon.com. The Inner Manager at Amazon.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything, and once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. Talking today about our Genius Series. Talking today about Nikola Tesla, the brilliant inventor, which his name was used by Elon Musk and his car company. And he and Musk have a lot in common. Musk is also a brilliant engineer and inventor. They do share a lot in common. Very creative thinking applied to the world, so they can pull in these journal ideas from abstract thought and apply them to the concrete world and make them work, which is pretty astounding. In any case, we're talking about Tesla had very poor business sense. Now, Musk, on the other hand, appears to have a very smart business sense. He also works with his brother and some other folks, so maybe they help out there, but he's done very well in the business world, much like Edison did. But he has the idealism of Tesla, wanting to help other people. So he's doing good things to help humankind, not just, obviously, like some of these guys, grab these vast fortunes and become more and more predatory. Musk has higher ideals. Tesla certainly did. In any case, his friend George Westinghouse was facing a takeover by J.P. Morgan, who represented big international banking cartel we talked about before, these big international bankers who control the money system of the world and are allied to many different monopolies. So they control energy, they control manufacturing, they control the media, they control the military, they control so many things. It's astounding. This small group of people have taken control from within by controlling the money. In any case, Tesla gave away $10 million allegedly to George Westinghouse to help him fight his hostile takeover from J.P. Morgan. We'll get to these things later on, but just to mention briefly, Tesla also, his idealism, went to the White House on January 5th, 1943, according to various sources we have, and told FDR, the president, that he could end World War II with an energy shield put around the cities of Europe and, of course, the U.S. to stop bombing, to stop the fighting. Now, he was told by FDR he was allowed in because he's a great inventor, he's well known, but they think about this. Then 2 days later, on January 7th, he was found dead in the New Yorker Hotel in New York City with many agents jumping around his place, confiscating his some 60 chests of notes in his rooms and also in the basement. He had some sort in the basement. He stayed in a hotel for some 10 years. A friend of his let him stay there. He was broke by that point. He'd given away his assets. He'd been cheated and swindled so many times because he had no business sense. He had a good heart, good-natured guy. He just wanted to give his ideas to the world. Wasn't there for personal effort or personal gain. So he let himself be robbed, no doubt, in various respects, not realizing it. In any case, on this date, there are many people jumping around his rooms, confiscating his chest and whatnot. He was full of notes and notebooks. He was seen as a threat to the system. Now, some people wanted the war to drag on. They were making profit, of course, by selling arms on all sides of wars. Wars make hundreds of billions of dollars for the big companies, and also allows them to change political structures and so forth and reclaim control of various banking systems in Eastern Europe, which they had lost. So a lot goes on behind the scenes, which is very corrupt and very despicable. So what we're told by the media about wars and the causes behind them are often greatly fabricated. So always dig deeper, always look for the truth. Don't believe the surface stuff. Because we put a book out years ago called The Feeding, Corporate Cannibalism, which is on Amazon. Check it out, folks. The Feeding, Corporate Cannibalism. It's a fictional book, it's a novel, but based on a lot of research. It was published in 1995 originally. It's been republished recently. It's on a lot of different websites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a bunch of others, which talks about that very issue, that these huge systems are controlled by these very powerful combines and monopolies. In any case, many folks want the war to drag on. And so and all of a sudden, Tesla, the great inventor, dies. We'll get back to that later on. Now, it's been claimed by many writers about him that he had a lack of business acumen, unsociable habits stemming from alleged personality disorder, maybe, who knows. I didn't see him personally, so it's hard to say, but he might have had Asperger's. He's probably OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, the way he worked. But was he personality disorder? Well, possibly. Was he bipolar? He'd worked only many, many hours, you know, 20 hours a day for many, many decades. Possible. And they also claim he seemed incapable of getting along with his fellow inventors and businessmen. That's not really true. He had a lot of friends. For instance, Mark Twain, Westinghouse, many people knew him. He's very well known and liked in New York and many other circles. He'd been eccentric. He was germophobic. He would clean off his utensils in a restaurant with many, many, you know, like a stack of 10 or 15 napkins to clean up his utensils with because he knew about germs. Very smart guy. Maybe he just wanted things to be clean. Maybe he's afraid of being poisoned. Who knows? In any case, he's a bit eccentric, but actually quite brilliant, a good sense of humor, supposedly. So he might have been Asperger's, might have been OCD, might have been borderline or bipolar, horrible social skills. Yeah, maybe, but he has some good ones, too. So much has been distorted to slander him. That's certainly true, because he was a threat to the system. So he's constantly attacked as, you know, Tesla the madman, because he came in conflict with the big powers. Remember, J.P. Morgan, representing the international banking interests, of course, had a lot of enmity towards him because he was opposing their efforts. He wanted to bring to the world also, we'll talk about later, free energy. And he developed free energy. He developed a way to bring it down from stratosphere and whatnot with some of his inventions. And energy would pulsate through the ground. And allegedly, you could light a light bulb off the energy passing through the ground. It was safe to people, but you could electrify instruments from that. Pretty amazing. So a type of universal energy, which, of course, threatened the powers of be because they make so much money off energy and controlling people. So many cases, the media has distorted aspects of his life. Remember, much of history is fiction. It's distorted by those who control it, to manipulate systems for their purposes. So let's go back to an earlier example. We talked about how he basically gave away $10 million, and Morgan was backed by the corporate elite, and that he did not consult a lawyer. He had poor social and business judgment. So is that madness? It's an example of madness, personality disorder, or just his very good heart going to help his friend, and he didn't care about the consequences to him. He didn't care about money. He's not about money. He'd grown up poor. He got very rich at various times. He didn't really care about it. He spent his money on his new inventions, on building new equipment and so forth. At times in New York City, putting these vast demonstrations of electrical equipment, many people came to the media and whatnot, so he became very famous and rich for a while before he gave it away or was swindled. He got cheated many times. Now, Edison again often resented and attacked him out of jealousy, insecurity, so forth. So part of the stories were told are lies, and the real truth is probably something much deeper. In any case, when the media lies to us, it fabricates things intentionally and programmatically, it's called newspeak. That's a term from George Orwell's famous book, 1984, about a totalitarian government which enslaves the world in three major areas of control. Each government controls its own people and blames the outside, some other country. They fire missiles from their own people, blame somebody else. They brainwash and control their own people to a profound degree to manipulate them. So Tesla faced this. He faced these people, these very powerful people, trying to shut him down and control him. They also called him crazy, whatever, to ridicule and demean him, to take away the belief folks might put into him. The main character in 1984, Winston Smith, is a writer of Newspeak, who constantly rewrites the news, lying to people, who gradually discovers just how corrupt his government is. Controlled by a small group of corporate vampires, really, manipulate the system to enslave, control, and destroy anyone they want. So Winston Smith is eventually destroyed by them when he is totally brainwashed. He says, I love Big Brother. Big Brother's name for the corporate elite. So the brainwashing there is complete. In any case, this is what Tesla faced in his time. And folks, talking today, Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock by Nikola Tesla and the nature and some of the history of various geniuses in our world. A lot more coming, folks. We'll be back in a minute. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Paradise Found, 2015, is a film that sparks of intrigue about the discovery of quantum field psychology. Throw in a sexy spy story, a conflict between father and son against the backdrop of NASA, and interspersed with World War II flashback combat scenes, and you'll be surprised to discover the foundation of a whole new theory of mind. Rent or buy Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com and prepare for the explosive conclusion. That's Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity. Things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything. And once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love. And you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
Quantum Field Psychology, second edition, is an astounding book on the new theory of mind. It is the first unified field theory that incorporates the influence of the mind and emotion on physical reality, the universe, and even other minds. It actually integrates all modern psychology with quantum physics, mathematics, Western and Eastern spiritual beliefs. It's the true bridge between science and spirituality. Get your copy of Quantum Field Psychology, second edition, by Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Amazon.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple and Mind Shock. Talk today about genius theories. Today about Nikola Tesla, the brilliant inventor who was much abused, just like Francis Bacon was much abused in his time. It's interesting that brilliant people are often castigated, destroyed by society, or at least viciously attacked. In any case, Tesla, in a sense, represents a common man. So Winston Smith, in a book, 1984, a common man is controlled, manipulated, taken advantage of, basically made into a serf by the controlling elite. Want everybody to be serfs besides them. So you have a very totalitarian state, which is now hidden. It's more of an invisible totalitarianism, hiding behind many facades. All the isms, you have socialism, communism, Nazism, fascism, democracies, whatever. All these governments have been taken over from within by the same people. They control these different systems, playing against each other, to sell a lot of arms and also to break down systems and take control within. This is a massive game of manipulation. You might call it 10-dimensional, maybe 100-dimensional chess around the world. In case Tesla was a victim of that. So Winston Smith was brainwashed, used, and basically lived in the blue pill world of the Matrix, as many of us do. Now, Ayn Rand touched this with The Fountainhead, her famous book, The Fountainhead. She talked about Howard Roark, who's a genius architect, who created the future in his building. He had really brilliant buildings and great visions and whatnot. He'd way beyond his times. He was viciously attacked by many people, including Ellsworth Tui, who was a conformist, representing conformism and, you know, being mainstream and not thinking beyond the obvious. These folks were really threatened by genius. They tried to control them, might use them, but also control them. He represented conformity and being part of the mass mind, where socialism and communism or being the natural evolution of those ideas. The mass mind rules. We must all submit to the mass mind. That, of course, is nonsense. It destroys individualism. It's the antithesis of freedom and democracy. It's the antithesis of America. Socialism does not belong here, or anywhere else for that matter. It does not work. It fails. Destroys the individual. And that's the intent. Destroy the individual controlled by the big powers behind the scenes. That's what goes on. Very astounding. Now, in Ayn Rand's work, The Fountainhead, Tui was a writer for a newspaper who excoriated and attacked Roark for his genius. One occasion, Rourke met Toohey at one of his building sites, and Toohey, feeling a bit guilty but also arrogant, says to him, "What do you think of me?" Right? Pretty much he's attacking this guy, putting him down, sabotaging him. He says, "What do you think of me?" For me, Howard Rourke turns his back on him and says, "I don't." Or what's the effect? You know, "I don't. I don't think about you." He doesn't think about this guy because he's irrelevant. This was Tesla. Tesla was unconcerned about the delusions of other people or about the currents of opinions flowing about. Just like today, there's this massive sea of social media, all these opinions floating around, which are like the wind. They blow in, they blow out. Most have no substance. Some might. But a truly creative person cannot be concerned about the delusions of those around them trying to sabotage him. Again, Tesla did not seek wealth or fame. He became famous through his creative inventions and his friendships with Mark Twain and others, who helped spread his name throughout the media. And again, he put on demonstrations in New York City, which drew much attention. He was wealthy from his work at Westinghouse, yet he gave it away to help his friend. So far from a dysfunctional madman he's been characterized as being, he's a creative genius who tapped into the higher mind and could download information at will. And this is most important. We discussed this before on this show, that part of creativity involves being able to tap into that higher mind. I mentioned before that when you go into deep concentration and deep study of a topic, that can be called being a polymath. A polymath is somebody who studies a field very intensively. He compares it to other fields. When you involve in deep concentration, your mind, your higher mind opens up to the lower mind. So the higher mind feeds or downloads information into your ego mind. This is what Tesla was doing. He was accessing higher information. Also, Bacon was doing that. He talked about the muse, according to muse, meaning the higher mind, the higher source of information. Many creative people talk about this. Tesla also followed a higher set of values to help other people. This is most important also. If you want to tap into those higher mind functions, if you want to make the law of attraction work, not law of distraction it might become, if you want to manifest things and create things, it's very important to walk that higher path all the time as best you can. If you keep your thoughts and emotions at a very high level of integrity and accountability, then what happens is the higher frequencies can pass through you, can pass to you and through you. If, however, your thoughts and emotions are based on the lower mind, lower emotions, then it distorts the energy. It misqualifies the energy. Remember, we talked about attention, visualization, and qualification. If your attention is upon very low forms, low thoughts, low feelings, if you visualize those lower functions, whatnot, you're creating those things all the while, and you misqualify energy in a negative way, you're creating for yourself very negative results. And many people spend their lives, unfortunately, in a state of quiet desperation and never discover they have within them incredibly powerful dynamos. We're going to talk more about, folks, in future shows. It ties right into the evolution of genius, how people do this. There are certain ways to develop those powers, which come through intense study, being a polymath, learning a field very deeply, like Eric Clapton. He studied music very, very closely. He's a musical genius. But he also tapped into the higher levels, higher feelings, access those to bring those into the world. Tesla did the same thing. Bacon did the same thing. We talk about many other people who not just study a field intensely to learn about it, but also can tap into the higher mind, bring information down to this world so it can help mankind. But having this higher set of values when to help other people walk a higher path is key to make that happen. If somebody's motivated just by greed and by so forth, like personal power and ego's nonsense, which mean nothing, then it sabotages, self-sabotages. We talk before, it's like building sandcastles on the beach. Spend your life building castles of sand or concrete or whatever. The wind and the waves will take them away. And you spend your time, your fortune, your energy, whatever, on creating things which have little substance. Instead, it's far more important to develop those higher mind powers, to work on the expansion of your own consciousness, wherein you will find the ability to create for yourself whatever you want in life, whatever wealth, success, well-being, you create constantly. So don't say, folks, on the outside world is the source of your inspiration, the source of your wealth. It's not. The source of your prosperity is within you. Of course, your success is your higher self, your higher mind within you. And everybody has that. And the vast majority of folks don't know it. because we've been brainwashed and misled by these corrupt syndicates for not just hundreds of thousands of years, because the uber-rich, the super-rich have always controlled things for their benefit. So the whole world needs to wake up, realize you have within you tremendous powers and abilities that you probably never tapped into before. Many sources we're free to about this. Of course, our film, The Endless Question, is all about that. The higher mind, we are all tied into the higher mind. We're all part of that, and the goal is to bring it down into your ego mind, to your daily life, where it will then ignite your life and turn your creativity, help you do great things. So all people have vast potential inside them once they learn to tap into it. So don't buy into the modern malaise of not trying, of just like doing your least and just getting by. That is a con game. That's socialism. That does not work. Instead, tune into the fact you have great powers inside. You turn those on. They're developing. They start studying. Right? Learn. Study a field, the field you're into, compared to other fields. Keep growing, expanding. Understand we are spiritual beings inside these physical bodies with great powers. The mind does transcend the physical brain. It is an energy field, and it ties into the spiritual level as well. There's a lot more coming about this. There's a tremendous amount of information here we're going to share with folks, because these are really important ideas to get out there. Please share with the world. Folks, everybody needs to wake up, realize the powers we have, and start to use them for good. All right, everybody, thanks a lot. Love you all. Dr. Ron Darren from Mind Shock. Talk to you next time. Take care.